Welcome back. Welcome in to the Lion's Share podcast. It's the post Super Bowl edition. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. Still remains true. The Chiefs beat the 49ers 25-22 in overtime, nearly a double overtime thriller. An exciting one after last year's robbery of an exciting finish last year with the refs calling that illegal contact, defensive holding, I believe, against the Eagles for the Chiefs to win it there. We get a historic finish in this one, and the Chiefs now have won three in the last 5 years and two in a row. So, Andrew, in our pre-show, you said this. You said 38-31, 49ers, and said it was going to be a high-scoring affair. And in your own words, you said, that's right, shareholders, take the under, and it's going to be a low-scoring affair because one would know if they listen to this podcast, you know, most of the time, if you go contrarian against your picks lately, that's the way to do it.
Do not do as I say. Do not listen to me. Unnecessary, to say the least. I'm a certified baloney slinger, that one. We just know the scores don't stick week to week. That is one thing we can count on.
At what point did you guys turn on this game? Like, so in years past, I've always loved the Super Bowl. Like, enjoyed it. Loved the build-up. I'm hyped for it. It's right up there with March Madness. It's always super exciting. But this year, obviously with the Lions being this close, I just didn't have quite the hunger that I usually do. Usually I have the game turned on several hours in advance, but last night it was only on for about an hour before the game. I just didn't have that same feeling.
We turned it on 30 minutes before kickoff, and you nailed it. I just wasn't. I feel like right before the game, I got into it a little bit more because it's still the Super Bowl, but it's definitely the least interested I think I've ever been in a Super Bowl.
We had it on a little bit earlier. We probably around five or so. Mainly wanted to make sure that was going to be able to get it. No issues logging in. You know how these streaming platforms go, Ben. I'm usually scrambling 5 minutes into the game asking you, how do I get this done? So wanted to make sure that was nipped in the butt. Kayla needed to see Reba do her national anthem. So we had to make sure we were turned in nice and early. Couldn't miss that. And Post Malone, cheers to you.
Yeah, really solid performance from both of them there. Glad you got to access. I'm not sure how you access CBS, but maybe through Paramount Plus. Was that the route that you took? And is that how you can get Nickelodeon as well?
Not paying for Paramount Plus, that's for sure. Went ahead and went to the CBS Sports app, did a little DirecTV login. A little backdoor from the long time lying there.
Okay, so did you get the chance to watch any of the Nickelodeon broadcasts?
I haven't. I did not. I've seen what you sent. I've seen some videos on X as well. But I want your expert analysis, to say the least.
Oh, for sure. I'll give you just that. Watched the majority of the game on Nickelodeon. And from the sounds of it, I didn't miss much from Nance and Romo, from what I'm seeing from you guys as well as online. It's not something I would probably do again. But in this moment of me not being super hyped for this game, I switched it over to Nickelodeon. The other reason was on YouTube TV, Nickelodeon was 45 seconds ahead of my CBS channel. So I was like, I'm going to be like a play and a half behind on CBS. So I thought, why not? It did get annoying at times. SpongeBob and Patrick did a good job, but there was a little bit too much of the on-screen stuff. I know that's for the kids, but all in all, pretty solid performance from Nate Burleson and Ian Eagle's son, Noah Eagle, there's his name right there. Not bad, pretty cool. I'm sure that between CBS and Nickelodeon, they got like 160 million viewers. Probably broke every record.
I have to ask here, did they keep the advertising the same? Were they strict on that? Was SpongeBob shouting out Allegiant Field, or was this Jellyfish Fields?
Oh, it was the Bubble Bowl, baby. What was kind of cool is every time they went to the wide shots, you know, to see the fans in the stadium, obviously it's a dome, right? But they had overlaid graphics to make it look like Bikini Bottom in the background. So, like, the roof wasn't there. It was water, and, like, there were fish around. It was that part was super cool because that was seamless. There was no glitches, nothing like that. It was pretty cool. For the advertisement side of things, at first I thought it was a one for one with CBS because I did check between, I was flipping between on commercial breaks to see. A lot of them were the same, although I don't think we got any alcohol or any other ads of that similar nature. But for the most part, I'd say like 70% of the commercials were the same.
Andy's backyard can, or bedroom can learn a thing or two.
Yeah, I didn't get to see much of the Toy Story broadcast on ESPN there or Disney Plus, but this sounds like it crushed that. I mean, they didn't do anything with the players. They had Larry the Lobster on the field quite a bit. Plankton was on the field quite a bit. They did a pretty good job all in all. I would say they could have probably afforded to do a little bit more in the replay department. I'm sure we didn't get all the angles that CBS got. Because at times when there were close calls, I did have to flip over to CBS, which was, you know, once again, 30 to 40 seconds behind. So it was like it was going back in time the whole time. But yeah, I mean, it's a cool broadcast. If the Lions were in this game, I wouldn't have watched it. But I didn't have a ton of hunger for this game. So I needed something else to kind of entertain me. And it wasn't until like probably the fourth quarter that I got into this game. I mean, the third quarter felt like it took forever. I don't know about you guys, but between the halftime and the third quarter, I think there was probably like an hour and 15 minutes between the two of those. Took forever.
I feel like the game itself kind of felt like it took forever, honestly. I mean, and even for maybe it's just bad attitude, but even for a game that had overtime, like if you would have told me going into the weekend, like the Super Bowl is going to have overtime, I'd have been like, oh, all right, yeah, that's cool. But it just didn't feel that exciting. Also, you didn't miss a ton with the commercials. I thought the commercials were pretty soft this year.
Agreed. I thought they were lackluster when it came to the commercial department. Got the feed.
Yeah, it didn't seem like I'm, not one of the best years for the commercials, that's for sure. And, you know, they talk about it on Part of My Take. They released half of these early, so you kind of already know what's going to happen. So loses some of that suspense. I didn't have anybody on my list. I didn't even make a list of commercials. I don't think anything really stood out to me other than there was one. The Nerds commercial was kind of cool until Charlie D'Amelio was on there.
You like that? Like the Nerds rope? You like that little Jelly Belly shake?
I did enjoy that. We did get that on the Nickelodeon.
All right.
You guys didn't enjoy Chris Pratt and his Pringles mustache?
I thought that was fun. That was a decent one. That wasn't terrible. There's just no like memorable ones that I thought. Like nothing's gonna stick. Like in years past, like when Doritos did that campaign and had a bunch of people turn in commercials, that was like all time. I think we haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah, could have used some maybe like a ChatGPT commercial where somebody just gave ChatGPT a prompt and made them make a commercial out of that. That would have been very on brand for 2023/4.
Well, honestly, I think the best one came out before the Super Bowl. I think it was as bad. I think it's like Paramount, I'm assuming, that streaming service. Where Sir Patrick Stewart tosses Hey Arnold yep. there.
That one was pretty good. That one played on the nostalgia a little bit. That one was pretty good.
I thought that one was good, but the biggest shock for me was the Temu.
Oh,
what, like I thought that was a fake app, to be honest with you.
So did
I thought it was a fake app.
I got sick of that and Chop Like a Billionaire, however it goes. That and CBS, like I guess it's maybe it's worth the investment because in theory they're saving $7 million for every 30-second spot that they own. But good lord, nobody wants to see your C-level TV shows over and over and over again. Commercials were driving me nuts.
They got to get people to sign up for cable somehow. They need people. They need subscribers. But yeah, if you're shopping out there, probably don't use. I didn't honestly know how to pronounce. Is it Temu? Temu?
I think it's Temu. I could have swore it was Temu.
Woo woo Temu. Yeah,
something like that. Sounded like Temu.
Yeah, I don't really know the correct pronunciation, but that's a good website to get your credit card information stolen and or not receive the product that you wanted to order. But if you can get it for darn cheap on there. But parents and folks out there, probably don't go to that website. It's not going to be a great shopping experience for you. But I saw that probably at least three. They advertise on TikTok quite a bit. So I have perused it because. Yeah, big TikTok guy.
TikTok guy.
They have some incredible deals on there. However, you may not get it. This is great. Yeah, you could probably save $1 billion by shopping there and buying everything.
Yeah, I just don't know, like, what can't be legit, right?
I mean, it's
that app stealing your credit card information
as we speak.
Mine got stolen this weekend. Fun fact.
Your car too?
Not this time.
Wait.
Thanks. Card with a D at the end.
I just don't know what kind of app this is. I look it up on Google, and the first thing that comes up when I search Temu. One Piece men sexy low waist hollow out tea back underwear. So
your algorithm speaks volumes.
But then right next to it is. Oh wait, I can't actually say that on this show.
Oh, is this a little like Valentine's Lover's Lane situation?
I'll have to send you guys the second one. Unless Tommy wants to commit right now to bleeping it out.
Sure.
It's a t-shirt or a sweatshirt that says, "Don't be a Norris."
That, will you order that for Andrew on behalf of the Lion Share podcast?
Bleep that out, Tommy.
Yeah. About 16 minutes in there, Tommy. Yeah, that's hilarious.
All right, that's Temu free advertising.
How about another commercial that I saw way too many times, which was the TurboTax, win $1 million? That one was playing during the pregame as well, and then it was during the game. I think I saw it at least four times. I couldn't be the only one. Maybe you guys don't remember it, but I couldn't be the only one thinking it. Every time she said taxes, it sounded like she was saying Texas.
Texas. Yeah, you got to enunciate, girl.
I totally forgot about that until you said this.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy. Andrew, can you confirm that we've lost Benjamin?
I thought I was losing it,
we've
but
lost.
Benjamin
we've
is
lost
gone.
Our fearless leader.
He's off into the ether. We'll never know. Mitchell, I'll have you know, CNN is reporting that Oreo's big-time loser in this year's Super Bowl ad.
Really?
I don't even remember it. Yeah. And lied to me. Lady Lion.
Ooh,
dropped
Tommy.
That one. Lied to me about 17 minutes in. 17 and a half minutes in, Tommy.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, he's back. Damn it. Good gravy. Acrisure was supposed to have an ad with Lionel Richie. Did anybody see it? Did I miss it? Did nowhere to be found. Apparently they ran
out of
money.
Tried to get that back end
discount.
Couldn't
pay her for a raise either.
Didn't even get the slot with overtime.
Jeez, no kidding. They ran out of money. Bought the Heinz Field and that was too much.
Are we taking a pause right now?
Last game of the year. Can't hold anything back now. I thought so. I figured.
All right. I'm back. Shout out to the neighbors. I got a little phone call there. So when I get a phone call on my computer, it mutes my microphone or disables it. So there you go. Fun fact that you learn something new every day. Shout out to my mom that's probably listening. She was the one that was calling. Anyways, we were talking about Super Bowl ads. I was going to say this. Just felt like this is not related to the ads at all, so I don't know why this is our transition, but here it is. Felt like the whole game was just kind of anticlimactic, Mitch, touching to a point you mentioned like 5 minutes ago, which was the ending. Even the ending when it was like, you know, to Hardman there, the catch. It was like, oh, it's over. And I don't know, the whole time it felt like the moment should have been way bigger than it was, and the moment just didn't feel big. Just kind of casual throughout the whole game.
1,000% agree. Just nothing about the game was really that exciting, I didn't think. I thought the whole thing was kind of boring against probably some sour grapes. But yeah, just never was that exciting. I didn't think Romo and Nance did a good job. I think Romo gets worse with every game he calls. He just says the same things over and over again. And even Nance a couple times is like, just feel like those two are kind of not as, it seems like the first year it felt like they were partners for 10 years, and now it just gets worse every year.
There's definitely no dead air when it comes to Tony Romo and Jim Nance, and Tony Romo feels all of it. But I kind of disagree. I thought there was some pretty exciting moments. You had the pass back from Jennings to McCaffrey, the non-quarterback touchdown. I thought that was pretty exciting. And then you've got the muffed punt, which anytime you get a muffed punt coming after my namesake in fantasy football, just feels right. But it truly, you know, you thought it was the punt receiver's fault. Wasn't, hit somebody else's leg. He had to make a play on it, couldn't get it. And that's kind of when the game like started, I felt like. Kind of like, okay, get on your horse. Like, this is the final 200 stretch of a horse race where, I don't know, speed skating has been on the line this week, where you start real slow and the last like 400 meters, you just give everything you got. You're kind of feeling everybody out. And that's what it felt like. They were like, the coordinators were feeling each other out throughout the game. How are they going to react here? How are they going to react here? And then the Chiefs just somehow put these drives together at the end, and their defense comes up huge for them.
Yeah, and the writing was on the wall. I thought it was like, the Chiefs are going to win this. You know, you can't give them this many opportunities if you're the 49ers. When the 49ers played arguably better game there throughout, just had a few issues with that fumble, punt return. The Moody missed extra point. Shout out Jake. But it's tough. It was enjoyable to watch the chess match between coordinators, kind of like that you alluded to. I thought it was very, very much a chess match the entire game until Kyle Shanahan, you know, makes a couple decisions down the stretch, which, you know, much has been made about those, but I don't want to, you know, become every other podcast and every other show that's talking about that right now. But real quickly, what do you guys think about that? Like, with the new overtime rules, maybe that's a reason it was kind of anticlimactic with the ending there. But were you guys surprised when Kyle Shanahan / the 49ers decided to take the ball?
Clearly a mistake. Like, and Romo said it right away. You want the other team to have the ball first, see what they do. Then you have that extra down, and you know what you're going up against. It was a miss for sure. I'm not going to blame it on, like, it's easy for Chiefs players to come out now and say, we've been repping that all year. I'm quite positive Kyle Shanahan knew what the overtime rules were. And maybe that it probably is something to communicate to your players so they have a better understanding of what needs to be done. But I would say in the situation, if you're the 49ers, what difference did that make? Like, you went down and kicked a field goal, so it wouldn't really have mattered. The Chiefs were getting the ball back anyways. And if you're on defense, you know you have to stop them to have a chance. So I feel like they almost were trying to place blame, or maybe that was the media spin. But yeah, clearly a miss by Shanahan.
Yeah, I think there's no bones about it. You just, I mean, I personally want to see what the other team does. If they do anything, then I know I either just have to get into field goal range and don't force anything, just give myself an easy makeable field goal if you get the stop, or you know, you're coming back down and you know you need to score. I like being in control of the controllables. We say it all the time, and that's how I want to live it. That's how I'd like to go down. And when you have to, and maybe that's just coming from me and not trusting the Lions defense. I don't know. Maybe that's got something to play into it.
Little trauma-induced thoughts there. But the other side of that, or not the other side, but another thing to add to that point is you give the ball to the other team first, and then you got an opportunity, if it arises, to win the game on defense as well, with a turnover or get yourself better field position. Something you can't have if you take the ball first, right? You can't have that. And the odds of your defense stepping up at that point are less, I would say. And you don't get any opportunity for a better field position than what you get off the kick, which is probably the 25. Let's be real, right? It's almost always going to be the 25. You get the ball second, you might get the ball at the 35, the 40, or even in scoring position already. So there's really no argument to taking the ball. And I think he knows that, like you guys alluded to. It's tough. If you're a 49ers fan, it's tough. You've lost now twice in the Super Bowl to the Chiefs, and I'm sure we would be, if this were the Lions in the 49ers situation, we would be in mourning, in our mourning era, no doubt. So in this game, in the preview show, we predicted this. I had the Chiefs 24-21, very close, which was 25-22, which was the final, 1 point off on each team there. Andrew had 49ers 38-31, and Mitch had the Chiefs 24-17. So Mitch, you were pretty close, and congratulations on winning the postseason crown, because you...
I don't care about your stupid game. I never wanted to play.
All right. Well, because I was so close on the final score, I'm going to move the crown up to me, actually. I'm going to take the crown. But no, I do have to give you credit. Back in August, you predicted that the Chiefs would win the Super Bowl. So I got to give you some praise there.
Thanks.
And time to move on. Okay, so let's move on. Let's move on to what does the future hold for the Lions and the NFL as a whole? Chiefs dynasty. I don't think there's any debate about that right now. They are the team to beat, and they will continue to be that until somebody beats them. So let's start with the AFC. Who do we think is on the rise that can take over this seat that the Chiefs seemingly own right now?
It's going to be the C-words, obviously. Mitchell, your favorite?
I don't know if they're my favorite. I think at this point, Andy Reid has proven, obviously it's Mahomes, but Andy Reid has proven how good he is as a coach. So I think if Harbaugh comes in, I mean, there's no doubt the Chargers should have been way better than they have been in the past 3 years. So if they can figure out a way to maintain their roster, and move forward with an actual coach with a brain between his earlobes, I think the Chargers are going to be there. Ravens will be back for sure. I don't know about the Bills. I think that's a make or break season for McDermott next year. I think if they don't make it at least to the AFC Championship, McDermott might get bounced. But yeah, I like where Andrew's head is at. There's a lot of teams coming up in the AFC. Texans are up there. Yeah, I mean, the Jags can't collapse again, but I think Ravens are an intriguing team, and it wouldn't surprise me, Andrew, if the Chargers made a run next year. Not a deep run, but I think we see the Chargers in the playoffs next year.
Book it.
Yeah,
book
I didn't it. Know which way you were going to go, whether you go with Chargers or the Cincinnati Bengals there. Those were my two that Kansas City is trapped between the seas.
And we're going to part the Red Sea by beating the Red Kingdom, the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know what that was. I'll be honest. Might have time to cut that. But I think it's the Bengals, and I think the Texans on the rise. I would venture to say that in the next 2 years, if not next year, we'll see the Texans in the AFC Championship. I think D'Amico Ryan's big believer in what he's doing. Stroud, obviously, is going to only get better. And Will Anderson only going to get better on the other side. They get some more developmental guys in the draft and see what they can do down there in Houston.
I would also like to make my bold prediction. The Browns will not go back to the playoffs. Deshaun Watson will come back, and they will not make the playoffs.
That has got to be such a bummer for Browns fans to see what Flacco did and be like, man, if we could have just invested Deshaun's contract money, invested in into some other position, oh, watch out.
You think Flacco plays another season?
It wouldn't surprise me if a team signed him, but I think the more likely scenario is exactly what happened this year. I think a team maybe that thinks they have a chance, and if someone gets hurt, if we had a time machine, I guarantee the Jets would go back and sign him week two of this season, and the Jets probably are that team making the run in the playoffs.
Oh, I think you're 100% right.
I still think they're going to sign him.
He was in New York at one point already, right? That was his second stint after the Ravens.
Wouldn't that be awesome if they did and the Jets just had the oldest quarterback room of all time?
Just walkers and wheelchairs everywhere.
I thought you were going to stop at walkers and just call them zombies.
Ayo. Well, if you're the Chargers, would you re-sign Joey Bosa?
Who do you get rid of, or who do you look to trade, Khalil Mack or Joey Bosa?
Oh, Khalil Mack's so old at this point.
Yeah, that's tough, but you have to get rid of Mack.
He's still formidable. I think in the right, with the right team, he could. I would not mind Khalil Mack on the Lions. I'll tell you that much.
Whoa. He's turning 33 in 2 days.
Is this your bold prediction here?
How old is Von Miller?
Oh, 36, I think.
Still producing. Ooh, we signed Bruce Irvin, like 83 years old.
Yeah, I mean, now he's with Miami, of all teams.
I think Von had a really good season last year.
No.
You don't think so?
No, not for what they paid for him.
Well, that can't be factored in here.
Oh, no, even if he was getting paid a third of what he got. No, he did not have a great year. And not even a good year. But Khalil Mack is locked up through 24, so he's not a free agent. But Joey Bosa is, I think.
Let's see. Just so you guys know, Von Miller's PFF total season grade last year was 85.8. So
now PFF ain't shit.
Maybe you suck me.
Look at the numbers.
How about no?
Then you just go right back to look at Aiden's numbers from this year.
Oh boy. Here we go again. You can't tell me that Khalil Mack, here we go. You can't tell me that Von Miller was a difference maker on that team, though.
Last year?
You can't name one moment last year where Von Miller was like, oh, there's Von Miller, like the old Von Miller.
I don't watch a ton of Bills football, if we're going to put me on the spot for that. No, I didn't.
He wanted him in the Super Bowl.
I still think he was a good player. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to say either. I'm trying to stall time until I look up his stats. I mean, he had 12 games, zero sacks.
Better be careful, because I'm just going to keep throwing Hutch right back at you.
I mean, yeah, but different positions.
Edge
versus a D end. That's different defensive schemes.
I think you just said the same thing.
Yeah, but don't the Bills run a 3-4?
All right, we've spent too much time talking about Von Miller. I'm just saying I wouldn't mind, not at his current price. Obviously, this isn't a pie in the sky. But if the Chargers were to say, okay, we'll eat X amount of Khalil's contract, I would take Khalil Mack on the Lions.
All right, one more time for Von Miller, though. Here's his stats. Played in 12 games. Didn't start a single game. 3 combined tackles, 2 tackles, 1 assist, and 3 QB hits.
Okay.
I'm presenting that without bias. Just take the, you tell me, shareholders.
Well, it seems like it might be biased, but if you'd like to stay on the subject, I'm just saying stats aren't everything. I would I would say a lot of people through the first half of the season would say some people called for Hutch to have a breakout season. First half of the season, he was probably looked at as having a regression season, a sophomore slump. We here knew that that wasn't true because he was getting so many pressures. He just wasn't padding the stats. But if you've turned into a stats guy, that's fine.
I'm just saying, three tackles on the year?
Anyways, I think the next question is, what's next for the 49ers?
33 QB hits, by the way, for Aiden Hutchinson. Three for Von Miller. And I was wrong about Joey Bosa. He's under contract for another year. I'm dumb in that department. But in the Von Miller department, I'm the expert.
I'm glad we next? Had this conversation, boys.
Are you?
Andrew was team Von Miller hater, so I appreciate his support. That's even though it may not have been. That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that whole situation with Von Miller. Yeah, he's controversial.
No more Von Miller.
Leave he had him more hits in another department than the Kibu department. Jeez. Who in the NFC? Lions. Who in the NFC can stop the Chiefs? Lions. Besides the Lions.
Who in the NFC besides the Lions can stop the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Dolphins, Niners.
In the Super Bowl. Dolphins?
Sorry. Jesus Christ. Just it happens, okay? I just talk.
Hey, a lot of Jesus commercials last night too, by the way. So
apparently he had too much tithing.
Mitch, your flash is on.
Mitch is now making.
What has happened
on
this episode?
I think the Niners could still do it. The Eagles could definitely beat him as well.
Yeah, the NFC is a little bit weaker than the AFC.
One mistake, Mitchell. I'd like to see you be perfect.
I'm so sorry.
He is perfect.
I'm so sorry. It just got me in my funny bone. It's up there with the eighth round of the draft.
All right. So speaking of the 49ers. Andrew,
if you put it on the teleprompter, Burgundy will read it.
Okay. Oh my gosh. We digress. What is next for the 49ers? Do we think they can eventually get over this hump? They can win one?
I think they're still going to be... I mean, the 49ers are... It's almost like they're as annoying as the Chiefs, but in a more sad way. Because they keep getting to this point. They just can't, like you said, get over the hump. They're definitely going to still be very, very good next year. I think a part of this that people forget is Greenlaw went out early. Early. And that defense was stifling the Chiefs. So I think they're going to, I don't know that they're losing or in danger of losing any key players. Nope. So they're bringing everybody back. It's such a perfect scenario for them because I don't know what, if any portion or what, I mean, they get to spend so much money on every position other than quarterback that they can keep doing this and keep doing this. So I think what's next for the 49ers, same thing next year, deep playoff run.
I hope Jared took note of that contract.
The rookie contract from the last pick in the draft?
Yeah, not so much that. Not so much that. Just the fact that if he wants to continue to look as successful as he has been, he can't take top tier money.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked at what the 49ers are losing or potentially losing in free agency, you know, if they don't re-sign them. Chase Young, I mean, who cares? Ray McCloud, another guy that's, you know, I mean, he played a role, but saw what he did in the Super Bowl, and he didn't fall on the ball, on the punt. So, yeah, I mean, the 49ers are going to be great for years to come. I don't know what that was in the Discord. It says reconnected though, so I really hope we don't have any more issues with this broadcast because we've already had several today. But yeah, I mean, Chase Young, Sam Darnold, Randy Gregory, They don't have many on the top of the list.
Watch out if they don't bring Sam Darnold back.
Right. That quarterback room is going to get a little less soulful. Have you guys looked at Spotrac? Speaking of Jared's contract, have you guys looked at like what the perceived market value is for Jared right now?
Probably. I haven't looked. I assume that it's got to be around 50.
Should be around 40. I was surprised.
It's at 37.4 right now million.
I would shed tears of joy if they got away with that, but there's no way they get him for. I think we'd be lucky to see 45, to be honest.
I agree. However, I don't know. Looking at the market, I don't know. I guess it depends on how the negotiations go, but I think in the situation that the Lions are in, they're in not a bad situation because he's got another year on the contract. So if you renegotiate, restructure, and build that into this year, I think you can get him a little bit less than 45, and if not below 40. Not Brock Purdy numbers by any means.
No, but if you can get him anywhere between 35 to 43, I think we're in the driver's seat.
Yeah, it leaves you options for other positions. Other guys getting paid. Where are we? What's next for the Lions? Super Bowl odds. Mitch put those in here. Thank you. A little bit surprising to see the Lions with less odds than the Bills.
Than the Bills, yep. I would agree. But hey, fifth best odds in the NFL next year. This is before the draft, which is kind of fair. Lions don't have the best draft capital of all time. They do have some money to spend in free agency, so I wouldn't be surprised, depending on what they do in the draft, and more specifically in free agency, for those to shift a little bit. But I'm not upset about those odds at all. It sucks because I genuinely think that as long as Patrick Mahomes is playing on the Chiefs, they will probably have the top five odds every single year, no matter what.
Oh yeah, they're at that point in their run that they get that kind of respect. Last year, around this time, the Lions were sitting at plus 3,500, to put that in perspective.
There you go. I might lock this in right now.
Yeah, it's no kidding. It's the best odds you're going to see all year. It's only going up.
That's right.
What do we think the next Super Bowl script is going to be? Obviously, everybody thinks the NFL is scripted. Andrew, you might fall into that camp. What's on tap for 2024?
Well, where are we going to be next year? What's our destination?
Nollins, which I've got a little note about that. Where did Dan used to coach?
Nollins. Where? You starting to put city storylines together already?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Detroit hosts the draft, goes on the road to their head coach's former stomping grounds, or he wet his whistle in the coaching tree.
Wow. Can I give you guys one more little nugget about what's next for the Lions? Lions yes. have the fourth best odds to land Chris Jones next year.
Oof, Andrew, you wanted him so badly that last offseason.
Where do you think we'd be?
Can you imagine? You wouldn't even without James Houston and the subpar help that Hutch got. Aleem, Chris Jones, and Hutch coming at you at the same time. Seal it. Doesn't even matter. We could keep Vildor. That's fine. He'd be fine back there.
Don't need a secondary. Just put anybody back there. Let's bring back Jerry Jacobs while we're at it.
Yep.
What do you guys think Chris Jones wants for money? I've got the market value on my screen, but
God. I mean, he wants to be the highest paid D tackle, does he not?
I think that's probably his aspirations, yeah.
Is he still asking for 1 year?
Probably not at this point. He's going to be 30 next season, so he probably wants that next, you know, three to five years probably.
Yeah, he wants a team to buy high, which is fine. He's earned his right. It probably isn't as important to him. Like at this point, it's got to be weighing on him. Like you've got three rings. Do you want more rings or you just want a bunch of money?
He's going to the Chargers. That's
a decision, yes.
I could see him going to the Chargers. Going to a new coach team. A new coach.
I think the Chargers have some cap troubles.
Yeah, who doesn't? I'm sure they're going to figure something out with the Saints, yeah. Now, he's definitely going to find his way into a new coaching system. A team with a new head coach this year.
Well, wasn't it on part of my take that I heard today that they would have the opportunity to franchise tag him again?
I did not. I didn't listen. So what did we learn from Kirk Cousins? It could happen 15 years in a row?
Yeah, I don't know. He sat out a couple games last year, so I don't know. Or at least one against the Lions. I don't know what you do. He's market value right now, he's got a 3-year $85 million, which puts you at about $28.5 million per year for Chris Jones. That's, you know, speculation prices, but that's the going rate for that position and someone of his stature. I put a few other guys in here. If we want to go a little bit lower pricing, a little bit more in our budget friendly market, we've another chief here, Michael Dana, who, of course, went to the University of Michigan. A little reunion with Aiden Hutchinson. Have Aiden on one side, Michael Dana on another. Dana's asking for probably about $15 to $16 million a year. That's an option. As well as another Michigan alum, Josh Uche, $8 million a year. So, could see that happening for the Lions.
They've got options. I'm going to let Dan and Brad work it all out. Like we say, with them comes the trust. You know they're going to hit a cornerback at the end and some offense alignment. I mean, that's just right as rain. We know that's coming around the bend.
Right as rain. That's a statement. I haven't heard that one in a while. L'Jarius Sneed, cornerback.
Cash your best.
With the Chiefs or what?
Sneed.
Not after I saw his actions last night with that, I don't know what you'd call that, open hand slap on a helmet. Didn't
it
like
it. It was really
that.
A tickle.
Ooh. Nickelodeon didn't even show it. They don't want to. Oh, good. They don't want to promote that. They don't want to promote that. I had to switch to CBS to see that one. Yeah. Love to bring Eli Apple into Detroit. That'd be fun. Just kidding. You know what is funny, though? Even funnier than that. I looked up Jerry Jacobs. Teach their own. Art is in the eye of the beholder or whatever they say. Jerry Jacobs. This can't be right. His market value. This can't be right. $11 million a year? There's no way.
What? No, that's not right.
I think it's broken. I think the system's broken. Because right now, he's making just under $1 million.
That's not right.
I don't know. I thought you could track or trust SpoTrack, but I guess not. I'm not even confident in how that is pronounced. But you know what? Free agency, it's only about a month away. And that's kind of what our next episode will be centered around, is free agency and the opening. Last year, we recorded on March 12th. So it'll be around there again when we return to these airwaves for free agency. Franchise tags, that starts next week. So no rest for the wicked here in the NFL offseason. And then you got the combine in 2 weeks, and then the draft in 72 days. So countdown begins. Let's touch a few things that we didn't touch in the Super Bowl talks. We're going all over the place on this episode. Kind of forgot where we were and who we are. The score bug. Andrew, you're the first one to point this out. I spent a lot of time on Nickelodeon, but I did flip over for CBS. The font on it was bad. It was Helvetica. I don't know why they used Helvetica and why it was so big. And the possession indicator was just kind of gross. I thought overall the design looked okay, but man, I don't know who approved that in CBS, but it was ugly.
Did you notice that San Francisco's score bug was also gold so that anytime they flipped the first down marker, it looked like there was a flag coming onto the play. I mean, it was just brutal.
Just brutal.
Yes. Sorry, I have no input here.
Yeah. What are you playing, Candy Crush?
No, I was trying to see if the Lions potentially were going to use their franchise tag on anybody, but
oh yeah,
I forgot. Brad Holmes is not a franchise tag guy.
You got to think, though, like, it's his ace in the hole. Like, eventually he would use it when he has to.
Yeah, maybe. I just don't know who. I also don't know who on their team they would need to do that for, because all of their superstars that they need to lock in, they don't, like, they haven't hit that point yet.
Right. They're fortunate, but that day is coming.
Correct. There's a lot of people, that we're going to have to pony up for at the same time.
Yeah, that salary cap that's so high and how much room they've got, $58 million or whatever it is, that's going to be shrinking by the day and the year. How about Usher? How about Usher at halftime?
Watch this. How to crush it. I texted you guys. Better. I did not like it leading up to the Alicia Keys part, because there's just too much going on. The camera's looking every which way. There's people running all over the place, flipping in the sky. Once Alicia hit and we slowed it down and we focused on the lyrics and Usher's silky smooth dance moves, and I think I'm afraid to say how good he looks for 45 years old. I'm not. Crushed it. Musical guest, the performance, post Alicia Keys, thought it was great.
I was going to say, I forgot everything that happened up until the roller skate scene, where that started popping off. That got wild. Loved every second of that. The Lady Lion and I were bopping back and forth on the couch, getting into that performance. We said that that's what prom wanted to be. That scene right there. That's what it took us back to.
Yeah, that's the Hollywood version of prom right there. I did not know Usher was 45 years old. I honestly thought he was older.
You saw him perform last night and thought he was older?
No, you're getting me all wrong. I thought he looked like he was 35. I just thought I was in the math, like he's been around for 20 plus years. You know, I was thinking, man, he's got to be like pushing 50, or if not in his 50s.
So how old did you think he was? Put a number on it.
I was like, I knew he looked younger than he was. So I was going to guess that he was like 48, 49.
Oh, 49 years old. And then he took his shirt off and you were like, no way. That's 35-year-old body.
I was like, how much work did he have done? So I got on the Google. I was like, oh shit, he's only 45. Just a young
guy. Looks great. Would love to look like that at 45 years old. Great tan too.
I mean, yeah, I think Vegas was pretty warm leading up to that, so probably get a little opportunity there at the pool. It was kind of a fever dream, though. There was so much going on in that. They threw everything in that. The roller skates was what put it over the top for me.
Silky smooth again. One of the guys did a backflip on roller skates. That's unreal.
That's insane. I don't know how many times you got to practice to do that, but Buddy was. Was he, as the kids would say, Buddy ate. He ate.
Okay.
Just trying to capture more of the Gen Z audience, Mitch.
You know,
let me cook. Let me cook. Did you think it was better than Rihanna?
I think it was better than Rihanna because I'm trying to figure out a way to delicately say this. I think Rihanna would have been getting down a little bit more if she wasn't with child. She was still great. Rihanna's still queen and still bae.
What about in comparison to 2021? Was it 2022? I guess when we had Eminem, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Kendrick, Missy Elliott, Mary J. Blige. I thought that was hard to top. Oh, am I missing something?
I don't know why you stopped talking. You're doing so good.
Andrew, I feel like we just got in trouble.
I thought it was better than Rihanna and on par with Eminem, Dre, Snoop Dogg, the rest of the crew.
It's hard to say. I mean, he just had so many good people out there. Lil Jon crush it, Ludacris crush it. All the musical guests. Yeah, nice. That was pretty good.
I very much enjoyed last night's performance. I think I like take them all in the moment and enjoy most of them in the moment. You know, it's bad when you can just reference back to terrible performances. So like Katy Perry, for example, disgustingly bad. Outside of that, like I can't think of a really, really bad one off the top of my head.
I really didn't like The Weeknd. I'm sure that's a hot take, but
I don't even remember that.
I also did not enjoy. Yeah, the Mirror Room. Did not enjoy that.
Yeah, that one was just a little out there for me. So who do you think it's going to be next year? Who would you want it to be, and who do you think it would be?
We're gonna get some
country. What are the odds that it's T-Swift?
Oh my god!
I knew you were gonna go there. I don't. I feel like it's too perfect. I don't think it's gonna happen. How about Drake?
I don't know. Drake might be too. Maybe Drake's too problematic for people.
Drake's too big for that audience.
Jake and Drake.
Drake rhymes with snake.
I think they'll switch it up. It'll be someone white next year for sure.
Okay. Well, that's quite the take.
Am I wrong?
Morgan Wallen.
It'll be some kind of band next year, I guess is what I should have said.
Creed. Give me Creed.
I take Nickelback.
Can you take me higher?
How about Metallica in honor of Dan Campbell? Because, you know, they're going to be there.
That would be electric if Dan and the Lions make it to the Super Bowl and it's Metallica. Wow.
It'd be
Metallica.
A shame because he's going to have to miss it. Although, did Metallica already do the Super Bowl? I went back and
looked. Usher got married after his
Keys?
Super Bowl halftime performance to his longtime partner, Jennifer something.
Okay,
now nice. Now it's Jennifer Usher.
Yeah. Jennifer Usher, J-U. Good for them. Happy for them. Hope they have a lifelong journey of love and many children frolicking. Anything else? What else? Did we forget anything? On to next year?
Are we going to do the J-Mo burgers?
Oh, shit. Yeah, we need to. Gotta do it.
We'll figure out a time to do that.
Supposed to do this in the winter in hibernation. Trying to come out of hibernation. I'm getting set back by the weekend.
Okay, so later this week?
Sounds good to me.
Valentine's Day?
You gonna make my heart give out on Valentine's Day?
Seems fitting, doesn't it?
We'll figure it out. We'll circle back, throw some time on the calendar, have a quick little meetup. We'll be fine.
I got yelled at for saying circle back.
By who?
You.
Some underperformer, huh?
You. In this here podcast, sir, a couple episodes ago, you said, don't use your corporate talk in the podcast. I mean, it's you are right for saying it, probably. Probably rightfully so, but it's just funny to see the wagon circle back, you know? Anyways. What are our plans after football? Now that football's over, what are we going to do with our lives? I'm hoping that you guys can give me some inspiration.
I was thinking about laying on the floor for a while.
Oh, that's
I'm already
nice.
Doing that.
Okay. How about rolling over?
I have been. No, no, that's too much. Just be chilling. I've been looking for. I really want to get a sweatshirt with like the Aurora Borealis on it, but I have not been able to find one anywhere.
Oh boy, if you do, send me a link.
It's a tough market for him. You got to head all the way up to Mendenhall Glacier to get yourself one.
Whoa! Oh, I
hadn't seen that part.
Yeah,
where's Mendenhall Glacier?
A couple of the shareholders got it for me actually, and I know they'll be listening to it the second this episode comes out. So,
where is Mendenhall Glacier at?
Juneau, Alaska, obviously, dude. Know your history.
Know my history or geography?
Both. Dude, it's been there for a while. So, what's up?
Okay, it's very circle. It's a square in my face.
Is it named after Richard Mendenhall?
For sure.
I think Mendenhall was actually named after this glacier.
Oh.
But I think it was probably another there.
Oh, it's funny too because I don't think Richard Mendenhall looks anything like a glacier, so nice. That's not gonna go through. So
this
that's great.
Truly off the rails.
Well, you want to get it more off the rails? Let's talk about your friend Mitch, our friend. We won't drop his name, although his name was on national broadcast. But
someone was on national television.
Yeah, he didn't even have the wherewithal to drop, you know, a little plug for the pod.
It's just a weird situation because it's so sad. Like, the event itself was so sad, but then it's like, oh, you know, someone you know is on national television. How interesting. With a really funny sign in the background.
Not only that, they used his username, which was Joe Blow, 808 or whatever it is.
So, no. So, I had a few people ask me that, actually. So, Joe Blow 808 is somebody else. The person... Mm. After the video afterwards, where the top, it's like the top came off the truck, his actual username is up there.
Oh, so it just happened.
I don't think he
Joe.
Cares seeing because I think they have to ask for his permission to do that and give him credit. So and he also shared that he was in the news. So,
Elena, it was weird because I saw another angle from like of all the stations, like a WGN station out of Chicago. Had a cell phone angle from somebody that was responding to it, and there's people running from the plane, and he's like, are they still, is there anybody else, are they still alive? And they're like, well, the pilot. And it's like, oh shit, that's so I don't know the whole story, but that was a private plane, right?
Private plane, yes,
like a chartered
it's
plane.
Funny because I think you can hear him say it in the video, but I was texting with him, and he said he was on the other side of the expressway, literally had the AC cranked in his car, and he's like, it was so hot, like, because it's just burning jet fuel. So it was just, like, the heat was just palpable on the other side of the expressway. And then you got people just driving by it, like, no big deal, going the other way.
It's just another day in Florida.
We actually did drive by a car on fire on the highway the other day and thought... They got that under control. Somebody probably called the police.
Do you know what's crazy? I drove by a semi that was on fire one time. And I guess maybe I shouldn't have made fun of them because I feel like you get to a situation where if there's no exit right before, what do? Just like sit there and wait for the vehicle to explode or just hammer down and go by?
Yeah, which could take hours, if not days, to get that all cleaned up. Can't turn around. So, unfortunate situation all the way around. Sad. But Joe, in the news.
Click follow and rate us 5 stars.
Oh, that should be an initiative going into season 3 of the Lion Share podcast. You guys can start doing some of those hits, so I don't have to wear so much. All right, we'll circle back on that conversation. Stay tuned, though, folks. We're going to take a month off, literally exactly a month off, and then we'll be back in March. We'll bring the college football expert back on to talk about things with Mitch because he's requested him, and see where he stands as far as college football goes, as well as what we've got coming in the draft. So that will be something you surely won't want to miss. We're going to do some fun things in the offseason as well. We're going to do some jersey drafts, some gym class talk, cafeteria food, and then, of course, we're going to have Quarterback on Netflix. Not sure if that's what it's going to be called, but who can remember from last year, we had the three quarterbacks, Mahomes, Mariota, and Kirk Cousins. Was a pretty good program put together there by Netflix and Omaha Productions. Shout out to the Sheriff, Peyton Manning. I know they had some trouble getting quarterbacks this year, so I'm not sure if they're going to change the name, but we do know one of the three players involved, and that's going to be none other than the sun god, St. Brown. So we'll get an inside look into his life, as well as, you know, some of the Lions as well, as kind of tertiaries of that program he was on. So we'll see who the other two are. Last year that came out mid-July, so look for that here coming up in the summer. We'll give you more details as we get them. Until next time, folks, enjoy your PTO. Fellow board members, shareholders, thanks for being here all season long. Wasn't the ending that we wanted, but here we are into 2024. A lot of things to look up to in 24. Lions are going to be good. Lions are going to be back. Let's trust Dan and Brad in this offseason. Let them cook, and let's see what they bring in 2024. Until then, we're heading out the door. Let's go, Lions.
Meow you later. Take any longer to start this episode, I might finish the fucking puzzle in my head.
Let me see, flip it over. What's it look like?
Well, it's just a section of the puzzle.
Yeah, you're gonna fucking finish it all right.